We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, yes, it's disappointing down here at Gillette Stadium where the New England Revolution lost last night and kaput. The season is over for the Revs. But, of course, we turn our page to Monday, where the New England Patriots will head to Buffalo to take on the Buffalo Bills, where, Keith, who would have thunk? Who would have thunk that of all things, of all people who might be able to help and might even be the key to the New England Patriots getting the number one seed in the AFC or bare minimum winning the division? It might be Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who next week the Bills will play in Tampa. Short week, going to deal with Tom Brady. I know the Patriots obviously still have to take care of business. I think that we know that and it's kind of stated. But if the Bills lose to the Bucs, let's say the Patriots beat him here on Monday night, Bills turn around and lose to the Bucs. My God, Brady might be the guy who would push the Bills to the sixth seed when it's all said and
done. It is so fitting because Tom Brady destroyed and dominated the Buffalo Bills for 20 years where they think they're free of Tom Brady. They win a division. Then the next year, again, assuming they're free of Tom Brady and the Patriots are dead. Nope, Patriots aren't dead. And you have a week 14 game against Brady and the Bucs in Tampa. And you could end up losing the division based off of that. Because you're right, that with the two games, it's still clearly up to the Patriots.
Yep.
But it's one of those, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to sweep them to win the division. If you split, and then, because the problem is, if you split, the first tiebreaker is obviously no longer head-to-head, or the second tiebreaker then becomes division record. We're talking about division, and the Patriots have that terrible, terrible loss to the Dolphins. And so that's why you can't tie with the Buffalo Bills, unless, of course, they lose to the Jets week 18. But that's not going to happen. So, yeah, you're right. Tom Brady could determine whether or not the Patriots or Bills win the division, which is just awesome.
And if you're – I'm going to ask you to do something very difficult.
I can do
and
it.
That is to think like a Bills fan.
Okay. I'll try.
So I'd like to get out a table.
Light
right,
it on
get
fire.
Your lighter fluid. Light yep. it on fire. Powerbomb shine through it.
Uh-huh.
Stand there,
shotgun
catch
a couple
yourself,
beers.
Catch yourself on fire.
Yep.
Then roll yourself out. Then shotgun the beers.
Got
and
it.
There you go.
Got it, Bills fan.
But if you're a Bills fan, are you? I mean, isn't this like you wake up in cold sweats?
Yeah.
Not only are the New England Patriots good again, it looks like they have found their quarterback long term. It took 1 year for Bill Belichick to at least seemingly, and again, now you're in the mind of a Bills fan, to be able to turn it around, to be a pain in your ass once again. And then, oh, by the way, next Sunday, here comes number 12 in pewter. I mean,
it's
this
unreal.
Is awesome.
Yeah. That's why football is still the best soap opera. It's the best storylines. Like things like this seem to pop up all the time. And I think if you're a Bills fan, you were that close to making the Super Bowl a year ago. After so many terrible seasons, you were in the AFC Championship game. So then you start this year, expectation is Super Bowl. Josh Allen was the preseason favorite to win MVP, and people were high on the Bills. So they lose their first game to Pittsburgh. So that kind of knocked them down a peg just a minute. But turns out it was kind of a week one fluke. They win four straight games, all blowouts, including at Kansas City. So I would argue after week five, Bills fans were thinking, all right, Super Bowl again. Best team. They just beat the Chiefs. And we didn't realize the Chiefs were kind of shaky, but they beat them then. Then they lose on Monday night to Tennessee. Then they have their bye week. Then they beat Miami in a really ugly game, and they follow that up with a loss to Jacksonville. So at that point, they're 5-3, and that was the start of the Patriots run. And they're like, oh, crap. Maybe we got a little ahead of ourselves. And then they alternate wins. They blow out the Jets. They get blown out by Indy. And then they beat up on the Saints on Thanksgiving night. So they're 7-4. But knowing that they have to play the Patriots twice and Tom Brady, I would imagine Bills fan confidence is in the toilet.
Oh, absolutely.
I bet they're terrified. They're like, here we go again with this. How is Belichick's team still good? And we got freaking Tom Brady. They cannot be feeling pretty good. And then, oh, by the way, Tre'Davious White gets hurt. They can't stop the run against good teams that can run. They can't run the ball at all. And Josh Allen's been good, don't get me wrong, but he hasn't taken a step forward from last year. And I don't know. They look like a playoff team, but they certainly don't look like this top two team in the AFC.
So you mentioned Tre'Davious White, and I know that we're kind of pacing ourselves because it's a Monday night football game where the Patriots will take on the Bills, and we'll have you in a special edition of NFL Sunday on Monday, 6 p.m. to 8:20. We will take you right up to kickoff here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network on Monday. But no Tre'Davious White. It makes me wonder what is going to become of the back end of that Bills defense, because you take him out now, everybody moves up. Now, against the Patriots.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't matter as much in this matchup.
No, but there is the – you have the specter of covering the tight ends. I know you're very much down on Jonnu, as a lot of people are. Mm-hmm. Hunter Henry has been really good in the red area. It makes me wonder if with no Tre'Davious White, if it's actually going to open some things up over the middle for the tight ends. But if Tampa is right, and I know we're almost jumping ahead a little bit because the Bills are going to match up against Tampa, with no Tre'Davious White, how do the Bills find a way to match up against all three of those Tampa wide receivers?
Yeah, no, that's where it's tough. And I think in some of the other matchups that, you know, in the AFC playoffs, if you're going up against, you know, Tyreek Hill, or assuming A.J. Brown is healthy, or you know, Keenan Allen or whatever it ends up being, that's where you're really, really going to miss them. The Patriots game, again, not maybe as significant, but Tampa, hell, I know Carolina sucks, but even DJ Moore, you don't have somebody to go up on DJ Moore. They got Kyle Pitts at the end of the season in Atlanta. Buffalo has to face. So, yeah, that one's pretty bad. Their secondary is solid. Like, they've got good safeties.
Right.
And the defense overall has played well, although they really – like, they have two shutouts in there against Miami and Houston. So, to their credit, they smacked around inferior teams, but that also does help the numbers a bit.
There's
no
question.
The Jacksonville game in there, too. That's three games where they gave up 6 points.
Yeah, and you're right. Those definitely skew the numbers a little bit, and we took a look at some of those yesterday. And I wonder if no Tre'Davious White changes the way the Patriots are going to look to attack the Bills. Not that it was going to be, you know, well, we'll just put our guy out there and White will take him out of the game and all that. I know the Patriots are much better game planning than that and mixing and matching their personnel. But I think the Patriots are going to be able to run on the Bills. And I know it's a bit of an evolving opinion because this game isn't until Monday. But I don't think the numbers that the Bills have put up this year match what their run defense really is.
No, it hasn't. And again, they don't – like, Harris and Stevenson aren't as good as Jonathan Taylor and the Colts running attack. It just isn't. But
right.
They gave up 264 yards to the Colts. So for a team that is so good – again, the overall numbers against the runner are really so strong. But again, when teams have – wanted to or when the game has been close or when they've lost, like Kansas City ran for a buck 20 on them and the Titans ran for 146. So those three teams all decided that they were really going to run, and they did. Some of the other teams, like the Dolphins twice, just no success. The Texans football team this last week against the Saints, really, really, really low numbers. So I think the Patriots are kind of in between there. Like, I think they are a better running team than those teams that they held to like 70 yards rushing. But they're not as good as say, Jonathan Taylor or Derrick Henry.
No, they're not the high end. But don't you think that if the Patriots can hit between, I'll use the numbers that you had said, between 125 and 140 rushing,
yeah,
that then the rest should take care of itself in terms of being able to put some points up on
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's going to be different than, like, they looked at the Titans and they thought, all right, we can probably pass against them more than we can run against them. And that's what they did. And that's why what Harrison Stevenson had a combined 20 carries, mm-hmm. whereas this week I would expect that number to go way up and try to, you know, get that thing going. And I agree with you. I think that's probably where they're going to have the most success.
Do you think combined 30 carries for Harris Stevenson?
Yeah.
However they chop it up is fine with me.
Yeah, exactly. And the way things have trended, it might be 15 and 15. Like they might very well go with both those guys. We saw the snap counts were all very similar. They each got a target in the passing game. So, yeah, I think it'd be something like that.
Yeah, and I do wonder about Brandon Bolden, who has emerged as the third down back. And I know that there have been times where you and I this year have kind of, you know, we sort of joked around, oh, Brandon Bolden this, Brandon Bolden that. You know, he's like a sneaky unsung hero this year. Of all of the people on the roster, and this even includes, like, I know we were high on J.J. Taylor, but of all the people on the roster to replace James White, none of us could have, I think, gotten out of our own head that it would have been Brandon Bolden that would have been the dude who not only filled the role but stepped up and played it at a level to where they're now designing plays and counting on that guy.
Yeah, and when they throw to him, I don't mind that as much. It's when they run with him, when it's third and one and they go like a Bolden draw or a Bolden delayed handoff. I feel like that gets stuffed every time. But when they kind of work him into the offense and kind of flip it out to him in the flat and let him run with it, yeah, he's not bad. And they're at least throwing to Stevenson and Harris more than they did Sony Michel, but it is still pretty clear. Like, when Bolden's in there, it's more likely going to be a passing down.
Yeah, he's been a real unsung hero this year for this team. The playmaker, Michael Irvin, will talk everything NFL with us at 1:30 tomorrow here with Gresham Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. I know, Keefe, that we will get into our preview later in the week because it is a big weekend in the AFC coming up.
Yeah.
And one of those big games is in Cincinnati, where the Bengals are going to host the Chargers. Bengals are 7-4. They're in second in the AFC North. Chargers are 6-5 in that gaggle of teams in what feels like kind of an average AFC West. But I don't think it's a death blow if the Bengals lose, per se.
No, probably not.
But what has happened to the Chargers?
Yeah, they haven't really been able to kind of get out of their own way. Now, they are right now the seventh seed. So out of all those 6-5 teams, they have whatever the tiebreaker is, which will clearly change over the next 5 weeks. But right now, these are both playoff teams, Cincinnati and the Chargers. And I think they have, I mean, second-year quarterbacks in Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, who both seem like franchise guys. Like, of course, they're going to make mistakes. They're also going to make highlight plays and everything in between. But they both seem like real franchise guys. I saw Shime tweeted this out, so I'll give him credit for this. There's like a new stat about
Mac Jones.
Well, Mac Jones is involved, but it really highlights Herbert. And bottom line is, guys are dropping passes at an alarming rate for Justin Herbert. And I know Dan Orlovsky was on ESPN the other day being like, I'm really worried about Justin Herbert. And you're like, yeah, all right, maybe there's some reason to be. But if you watch that pick six from last week, it went through Austin Eckler's hands.
Yep.
So, like, how bad has he been? Or does he just have more receivers this year dropping passes? And when they directly lead to interceptions, like, that is so far out of the quarterback's hands that I don't know what to tell you. So maybe Herbert isn't as bad because, again, he was so good as a rookie. And then this year, you're like, is he going to take another leap forward? And it's actually been pretty similar. Like, the numbers across the board are pretty similar to his rookie year. But if you factor in all those drops, maybe that sort of explains why he hasn't taken a step forward.
Yeah, and I don't think, like, for me, it's not as much about Herbert as it is not only the people around him, but also I'm leery of first-year head coaches having big success, right? Like, I still think there is everybody is still learning each other out there because it is odd to have a rookie quarterback that played so well and then loses his head coach.
Yeah.
And because it clearly wasn't Herbert's fault.
No, Anthony Lynn needed to go.
That's exactly right. He rendered himself expendable, and you have everybody. It's almost like Herbert is a rookie again in terms of what they're trying to build out there. It's just really – normally if a rookie has an average year and you're like, okay, the coaching's holding him back, that's when you make a move and you think that – rarely does a quarterback as a rookie have 31 touchdowns and 10 picks. And he's like, you know what? The coach has got to go.
Yeah.
That makes that situation a little weird and a little difficult to – Oh, well, I mean.
But it is funny, like, you brought this up with Curran, and, you know, as it also relates to Mac Jones, but the age of the quarterbacks, like, the playoff quarterbacks as of today, and I know there's, like, 12 teams in the hunt, but out of just the seven, Lamar Jackson, Mac Jones, Ryan Tannehill, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert. I mean, they are all, I mean, Tannehill's the oldest one. But that is a young, young group. I mean, you're talking about, obviously, the one rookie. You have a couple of second-year guys.
Oldest guy's like 26 outside of Tannehill, I think, right?
People also forget how young Lamar Jackson is still.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson's super young. Tannehill is definitely like the old grizzled guy at 33. And then you go to the NFCs where you have, you know,
it's Brady, a bunch of gray beards
and
over
Aaron Rodgers and all those guys. But
bunch
yeah, that
of
is.
Olds.
But it's pretty impressive because, so a couple of these guys, just based on the numbers, are going to start piling up playoff wins. You know, you're going to look back at the end of it, and even if they don't make it to the Super Bowl, you're like, oh, wow, you know, 23-year-old Joe Burrow just won a playoff game, or 23-year-old Herbert, or however old they are. Like, that's going to happen this year.
I'm very excited to, and I'll use the guys that you use there as an example. I can't wait to hear in 4 years Joe Burrow talk like Jason Tatum on all the success that he has had at such a young age.
And we'll see.
It's part of the reason why people should be in on him in Cincinnati. I like Burrow. He's got some.
He is good.
He's got some balls.
He's got chutzpah.
He does.
Yeah, chutzpah. Exactly right. Good job on. I think we were. I think we were neglectful in not wishing everyone a happy Hanukkah the other day.
Oh, that's right. Happy Hanukkah. Okay.
Broncos Chiefs. Are the Chiefs in danger of losing this game at home to the Broncos?
Nah, I think the Chiefs are good. Like I a couple of weeks ago, I was like, you know what? We're all kind of coming up with these different matchups, but it's actually going to be Patriots-Chiefs AFC Championship game again. Like, we're staring at the fan. Took a long way to get there. They were both written off at one point, but I think ultimately that's what it's going to be. Their defense is playing a little bit better. It's still Mahomes. So even if you're like, oh, look at the picks, look at this, look at that, I don't know, he's still the best quarterback in the AFC, in my opinion. So I think – and I like Andy Reid. I know he's had some of his late-game issues, but he at least overcame that. And I don't know. I think the Chiefs definitely beat the Broncos this week, and I think they solidify themselves as the best team in that division.
I kind of do, too, and I'm not in love with the Chiefs. I still think their defense is fatally flawed. I really do. However, that division is just – it's, you know, at least Baltimore. You know, Baltimore is a team that even if you don't love them, you can believe in them. And I'm not the biggest Lamar Jackson guy, but as a group –
No, but they win.
Unit,
they win games.
They do. Yeah. They win. Yeah. And they find it – they're the closest team – and again, the quarterbacks are polar opposite. But the closest team consistently in the AFC to New England in terms of sort of the way they've built their program and play complementary football, that's the Ravens all day long. And I think that's a part of the reason why, even though they've had playoff issues with Lamar, they've still been really consistent under Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh.
John Harbaugh's a great coach. I'm with you. They had that little dip in there where they missed the playoffs for a couple of years, but – they still one of those years, like they still had a winning record, and they have bounced back. They've gone at least divisional round the last 2 years with Lamar. So, yeah, that's a team. I mean, I guess similar to Pittsburgh in a way, as far as teams that are going to roll out and be competitive every single year. And it's a matter of, all right, how much playoff success do they have? But
they're comfortable with who they are, and I think that's a part of the secret sauce and the success here in New England as well.
Just think about the coach, like the how quickly teams change their head coaches, and some of them you should, like, if it's not the guy, you got to move on. Don't just keep a guy because it looks good to have longevity, like Dallas did with Garrett.
Jason,
like, don't do that. But John Harbaugh's been there since 2008, and again, we're so spoiled with Belichick here. But outside of Belichick, if a guy has been anywhere for 10 years, that is insanely long time.
No, and John Harbaugh would be one of those guys that if he got let go, it wouldn't be if he's going to get a job.
Oh,
it would
snapped
be
right up.
It would be what pick of job does he want? Because he would be that regarded. And I think one of those guys that somebody might say, okay, you can be involved in personnel a little bit as well. So it will be a very big weekend in the AFC with at least two of those games, big ramifications in the AFC North and in the AFC West, and of course, Patriots and the Bills on Monday night. So, Kiefer, I am down here at Gillette. The TVs aren't on in the Alabama colored room that I am in, but I can see in the other studio Brian Kelly giving his press conference. You got it right on. I can see it there
he is in the
studio.
Yeah. Here he is.
That is what $100 million will get you in terms of a nice looking suit. But how about this coaching carousel in college football? And you and I only tree topped it quickly. I know you're very much on the Urban Meyer will not finish the year. Does Urban Meyer get lured back to college at 60 years old, which, by the way, is the same age of Brian Kelly? 60-year-old guy, Brian Kelly. He won a Division II national title at like 43 years old.
And he just signed into a 10-year deal?
10 years, so $100 million when it's all. How about this? Every year, he gets a $500,000 retention bonus.
Why not?
So most people are like, hey, you know, I'd love to do a good enough job to be able to keep it. It's the, well, we're going to pay you extra money for you to not go anywhere.
Unreal.
It really is crazy.
The college coaches are just so slimy, and they're always looking for the other job. But as it relates to the NFL, I would think, yes, Urban Meyer definitely could come back, and he could maybe land at Notre Dame. And I also think that Matt Rhule with Carolina, he could tuck tail and go back to college and grab one of these great jobs. Oklahoma's a great job.
I completely agree. And it also, it makes me think like, okay, what's the next shoe to drop here? Because it's been the big time programs where normally, I don't think you and I, whether it was a coach who was connected to college or not, normally you wouldn't look at leaving an NFL job to be able to go to a college job on the whole, right? Like, I know when Saban went.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's sort of a different circumstance, and it just wasn't going well for him. Like, where do you come down on the Cliff Kingsbury rumors? Because right now, he has the best team in football, best record. He has a chance to be NFL Coach of the Year, and everyone's like, oh, Kingsbury might take that Oklahoma job. I'm like, why? He's doing well. He's getting better every year at Arizona.
I wonder what he's making in Arizona. And I know he's got only got 1 year left on his deal, so there may be some agent subterfuge going on here. However, let's say he's making $6.5 million as the head coach of the Cardinals. Not out of the realm of possibilities. He probably gets $100 million from Oklahoma to go take that job, you would think. Or they try to lock him in. I don't think he's leaving.
I don't think so either, but you never know.
I wouldn't be shocked if Carolina Panthers offensive coordinator Joe Brady starts getting looks for those college jobs as well.
Yeah, you know, Shime, that's not a bad point. I do wonder about that. You know, is he really married to Rhule and really like the NFL? He sort of did that, okay, let me jump up and be a coordinator, and then it would help me maybe get a college job. But I wonder if he's ready for what is a real blue blood job like LSU, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, USC. Those are the, I mean, that's the creme de la creme. To think that the Notre Dame coach left to go to LSU is mind-boggling.
Yeah, that's still surprising to me. And even the Oklahoma to USC, although I guess when USC is good, I could see it being super popular out in L.A. You know what I forgot was when Kingsbury left Texas Tech, he was actually hired by USC as their offensive coordinator. And then Lynn Swann was the athletic director. He blocked any interviews, and then so he had to resign because both the Jets and the Cardinals wanted to hire him.
That's right.
But he had just taken a job at Southern Cal. I mean, all these coaches are the same. They're all looking for the next job.
By the way, did you know Lincoln Riley turned down an interview with the New England Patriots?
I did not know that.
A bunch of years ago, apparently Scott Pioli, I guess, had offered Lincoln Riley the ability to come in and be. Lincoln Riley was a guy. The part of the reason quickly,
I thought
everybody,
he was going to go pro and not to SC. I thought he was going to go pro.
Yeah, I think there was that, but that guy turned down. Like he did an interview for a bunch of jobs, and then it was like, boom, you're gone to USC. Mark it down, by the way. Matt Campbell of Iowa State is getting one of these open big jobs. He's one of the next big guys. We'll get to some 3T coming up. Don't forget, Michael Irvin joins us tomorrow at 1:30. Right now, Shime is going to trend.
been watching the show today?
At twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
Been tweeting the show?
At Gresh Keefe on Twitter.
Texting the show?
At 37937.
Well, now it's time to read only the positive messages.
From Twitch, Twitter, and the text line.
On Gresh and Keefe.
I gotta say, I think I like Shime's music better than John Anderson.
Shime spins hits back there.
Andy Hart was dancing on Black Friday. He was loving my music.
Oh, we might have to make that switch permanently.
I do play the hits, man. I play bangers.
You do? No, that was the perfect compliment to 3T. As you heard, Twitch, Twitter, and text, lots of different ways for you to be able to get a hold of us. And I know for those of you watching on weei.com/watch or twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, you know that I'm in Gillette Stadium. I got the Alabama zip up on, and the Alabama colors are in this room that I'm in right now. Coincidence there, Keith?
I don't think so. They got a lot of Alabama players on their roster. They just make one feel at home.
That's right. They very much feel at home, just like there will be six high school teams who will be feeling at home today because the MIAA has 8 state championship games spread across 3 days. And, you know, I guess now they probably could have jammed them all in on Saturday because they didn't know that the Revs were going to lose last night.
One would argue, Gresh, that the state of Massachusetts probably shouldn't have 8 state champions. Seems a little – isn't that more than Texas?
It seems
a little much.
I know that as a 9th grader at Tri-Valley North Junior High School,
okay,
that I did get to kind of kick up and play with the varsity team for like a game or two, because it's very different there. It was like 10, 11, and 12. And the school went by school district. But anyway, in Western Pennsylvania, they would have Class A, Double A, Triple A, Quad A, 5A, and I think they went to 6A. But like, there's reclassifications every year. Rhode Island does the same thing where, you know, oh, you were in Division A, now you're in Division C. Well, what the hell's Division C? Well, we don't know how we calculate
it. Yeah, it's just too much. The state's not that big, and I understand you don't want these tiny schools playing these huge schools. But it just – so I just looked it up. I think in 2020 there may have been, let's see, 9 state champions in Texas. Which just pumps out college players.
And it is like 3 times the size of Massachusetts.
Yes. Oh, my God, yes. And they're able to figure it out and wither it down to those Friday night lights.
I drive to Amherst, not flying to Lubbock or Amarillo across the state or something like that.
That's crazy.
Which is what you have to do. So at 3 o'clock, it's going to be Hall against Randolph. At 5:30, Wacona, Cohasset. 8 o'clock tonight, North Reading, Swampscott. And apparently my rosters are waiting for me.
So you have not yet looked at the rosters for the games that you're announcing back to back tonight.
That's right. There was an email sent out yesterday. I was kind of left off of it, and they were jumbled to begin with. So former Red Sox producer Russ Ken, it handles these games, and you talk about a pro, right? He's like, listen, don't worry about it. We had a little production meeting at 2:15 right outside the studio here. He's like, I got all your copies ready to go. He's
good,
like,
breakdown.
I just hand you the cheat sheet.
Yeah, you need a cheat sheet.
You need the cheat sheet, but also, can I compliment the Patriot Ledger, Keith? Because I went on the Hard Target search to try to find some intel last night on these teams. So it's at least more than like I know Wiggy's kid is playing in one of these games, right? I can go ask Wiggs tomorrow.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the Patriot Ledger did a great job of breaking these down, and I spent the $1 for 6 months to be able to get the online access.
There you go. Well, make sure you cancel, because they'll resubscribe you, and then next thing you know, you're out $2. So make sure you're on that.
I am definitely.
I don't want to be a sucker.
That's right. I'm going to put an alert on my phone to make sure I don't get wrangled in on that. But for those who have only like seen these games, like if you're a parent, you've gone to one of these games, there are a couple things that stand out, right? You know, they try to keep everybody separated so there's no issues and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's cold as balls.
Yes.
By the time the 8 o'clock game kicks off.
Yeah, what's the game time temperature for that one?
I think it's supposed to be 26.
Jesus H.
All right, so we're in the big booth. We're in the Nance and Romo booth.
Okay.
So we get the big booth at Gillette. And the one thing about that booth is when you go back away from where the windows are, it's very, very warm there. However, this whole thing, like my – normally I'd wake up at 5:45 to get into Boston by 8 to start getting ready for the show, right around there, right?
All right.
Today I woke up 6:15 and I had a panic attack, but I got worried because I started to think about, okay, what socks am I going to wear?
Huge.
What blanket am I bringing with me?
That's a rookie mistake. You got to lay out your clothes the night before. It's a classic move. It takes all the thought process out of the next day. You can just kind of go through like a drone in the morning, and you have all your clothes ready to go.
Well, the thing is that we're doing three today, three tomorrow, and they're all going to air on Channel 38 on WSBK, it is, on Saturday from noon to midnight. So I got to wear the same uppers. So when I'm on camera, when we intro all these games, I don't look like I've done a wardrobe change halfway through.
Well, I don't know. They change wardrobe at the Oscars. If you're hosting the Oscars, it's kind of like a sign of the time. So I think that's maybe what, each game you have a different jacket on. That might be kind of cool.
So you will like that I have the almost near turtleneck sweater to wear underneath what is the type of leather jacket that like saved Paul Pierce from dying when he got stabbed.
Really? Well, that was like a puffy coat, wasn't it?
Well, a little bit, but mine is almost like, remember the guy who was, remember when, it wasn't Tony Siragusa, but there was the other driver for Tony Soprano in The Sopranos, and he had the big leather jacket on and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what you got?
That's what I have.
So that must be warm.
It's leather jacket, it is very warm, sweater, and then I have my, and this is going to be right up your alley, my super comfortable Mario, like Super Mario, blanket.
Oh, you have a blanket in there?
You have to bring the blanket in because...
What? I don't think Troy Aikman's rocking a blanket when he does these games.
Well, they also got heaters, and sometimes they're not here when it's 26 degrees,
No, that's
right?
True, but sometimes they are. I don't see Nance and Romo sitting there being like, hey, pass the Mario blanket.
So I have, I'm going to try to stand up and show this for Twitch. So I have on just like tan, they look like khaki pants, right? But they're really.
It's a nice pair of pants.
But they're dry golf pants, right?
Got
so
it.
It's the ones that you would wear in case it's going to rain. You know you're going to stay dry.
Yeah.
Now, I had a big choice to make.
You could urinate yourself and you'd be
fine. Well, that is true, too. I can soil myself and I'll be fine. So I had the choice to make. Do I wear fleece? Like, fleece, almost like pajamas, right?
Yeah.
Do I go with the fleece underneath these pants to stay warm or go Mario blanket? Now, the advantage, and I've done these games for so long.
Right.
I almost have it. The thing with the blanket is I wrap myself like a burrito.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So you're just in there for the night.
You have to be, right?
Yeah.
Kind of you wrap yourself up and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it was either I was going to be sitting here in the bowels of the stadium in the radio studio, which the Patriots are nice enough to let me slide in
very
here.
Kind.
So I was either going to be super, like, sweating my nards off in here with the fleece underneath.
Possible.
Instead, I went for super comfy Mario blanket.
Well, we're going to need a picture of that probably on the Gresh Keith Instagram. I think that would be pretty fitting for tonight. Yeah,
I'll definitely get that out there because I don't know how much actual on-camera time there's really going to be because of the way we got to produce these games. But, and I have on the UGG socks underneath boots.
UGG socks and are they UGG boots?
Yes, they are.
Oh,
in fact,
God. Tom Brady would be really happy with you.
A brand man over here.
Look at that time.
And you know what? Quite honestly, playing in that Best Buddies Tom Brady game.
Yeah, when
in
you like rip your hamstring.
10, where? Yep, that's right. I got part of the gifts of that. You got a certificate for like free
give it
UGG
boots?
Slippers.
Jeez.
So, but I got the slippers and I fell in love with them. So I got the boots because they're waterproof, they're super comfortable, but the biggest thing is they're warm. The only thing I'm worried about is my hands because I got to touch a lot of stuff or, try to get to my notes. And if I got gloves on, I can't do it. I don't have any more lineman gloves. I got no wide receiver gloves. I should have asked you.
No, yeah,
you
yeah,
any
yeah.
receiver gloves
somewhere
lying around.
Lying around, yeah. But those weren't particularly warm. What you got to do is get a couple of those hot packs, throw one down your pants, one down your shirt, and kind of hold on to the other two, and you're good.
Yeah, it's a so it's a delicate balance trying to deal with the weather during these games.
Yeah, that is chilly.
Well, the other thing too is that we get fed between it's like 6 and 8. They kind of have the food roll out.
Okay.
And this is where I admit, and before I'm going to steal the joke from everyone. It's nothing to do with the food, but that's where we get a little territorial.
Oh,
we've asked before to have the food put in our booth.
Yeah, that's not asking too much. You're doing three games in a row.
Yeah, and leave a little more outside for the rest of the people that are working these games or the public access people or stuff like that, right?
Scavengers.
Instead, what happens is they put it in our booth, and these people walk in like we're not doing nothing.
No, so you're alive. You can't do that.
Some guy from, Cape Cod Public Access – like walks in, is like, "Hey guys, how you doing?
No,
look at this pizza." And it's like, "Buddy, we're doing something here. Like, come on."
Get
him
on the air. Be like, "You know any of these kids? Because I just got the roster."
You know what? And I have to say that there's always one of them who'll be like, "Hey, you do sports radio? And like, do you think you'd be able to come on and talk about this game?" And I'm like, "Sorry, man, I got to rest my throat." The truth is, I have no idea.
No,
I'm like everybody else. I'm out there trying to grind to be able to find as much intel as I possibly can on these games to just not be like, "Boy, that number 11 looks pretty good." But that's about all I got. But at least
with the game being on TV, Gresh, you can get away with saying numbers. Whereas if you were doing radio and you started saying numbers, people would be like, "What? Like, I don't know what you're talking about."
And I know that we're going to mention this on the air. However, what is the level of I think Shime and John are building a file of Greshisms.
Okay.
How many of these should I need to work in and not feel to work them in? I don't know.
I would probably do a few a game.
Just like you have to rub peanut butter all over yourself in at some point.
Yep. Peanut butter on the nipples.
Ooh, that might be a tough one for I have to alter it. I could do the, rub yourself up in peanut butter maybe, like some crazy fan.
Can you say charcuterie? That's sort of a tip of the cap to Shine.
Ooh, there you go.
That's an easy one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You find a large
working
out there.
Working to soil yourself.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Or a fan. That guy looks like he enjoys a nice charcuterie board, something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, the soil yourself is tough. I've learned this in doing these games and kind of doing color commentary in general, is that most people want you to focus on, like, the good part of the play, not the kid who might have, like, blown a tire or completely blown the coverage or something.
Oh, this
like
is a
that.
Good one. XBear28 in the Twitch chat says, drop a magnum dong.
Oh!
You have to. You have
we
no
told
choice.
Fleming to do it. Fleming would have if there was two Grand Slams in the game.
You have to do this.
How in the world do I work that in a high school broadcast? Though?
Like if somebody breaks like a 70-yard TD run.
You're right. I need to keep this gig. It's
good luck.
It's one of the good ones. So, all right. So, Magnum Dong. Now I'm going to be completely preoccupied on how to work it in.
That's going
to
be tough.
No pun intended.
That's why they pay the big bucks.
Well, that is something. And hopefully no one was listening on the line that I just uttered in the Magnum Dong. You Got Something is next. Time for You Got Something. It is sponsored by Unified Office. If you run restaurants, don't lose football takeout orders or reservations due to customers getting busy signals or being stuck on hold. Get the solution at unifiedoffice.com. I got to say, normally when challenged with, "Hey, work this in."
Yeah.
It's pretty easy for me.
Good luck.
I've been trying to figure out Magnum Dong. I was even talking about it in the off-air show with Shime. Anyway, I got something, and mine is going to be relatively quick. Today at the University of New Hampshire, their football coach, Sean McDonald, has announced his retirement. Now, Coach Mack, for anybody who knows him, he is right out of the Belichick book. No BS. Here's how I run my program. If you don't like it, get the F out of here. I really respect Sean McDonald. Got to know him and his wife a little bit. He had an unbelievable, like an NCAA FCS record run of consecutive playoff appearances at the University of New Hampshire. He beat the biggest battle of his life. He beat cancer, came back to coach, and is now going to hang it up until my friend Coach Matt, God bless you. Him and his wife, Jenny, are awesome people. Everybody, if you're up in the New Hampshire area, you know about Coach Mack and his wife. Great people. Congratulations to him on one hell of a career. Go ahead.
A quick follow up to that, just as a kid from New Hampshire, I mean, that also, he had Chip Kelly on his staff.
Yep.
And he also coached Ryan Day, who's now the head coach at Ohio State. So he had some really, really good years. The Ricky Santos, David Ball years, he was the coach of.
Oh, my
and,
God.
Yeah, he put UNH football on the map. They were a perennial playoff team for a really long time. So great career for for Coach.
I just wanted to give a quick shout out to the New England Revolution on an awesome season. Unfortunate loss in the first round of the playoffs last night. Well, we wish it could have gone better, but ultimately we're happy for them. They had a great season. We look forward to talking to Matt Turner again.
You're sad it's over, but you're happy it happened. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Okay. I'm depressed and in pain that it's over, but I am happy for the ride to this point.
What a ride.
Sean, can I ask a sensitive question?
Go for it, Gresh.
How much did you lose?
Not a lot, actually.
Okay.
I had a
couple of
crazy little
of
parlay, but, you know. Keith, you got something.
Yeah, I got two things. One, Mac Jones, apparently the Tom Brady comparisons are going to continue as he has filed for the trademark to MJ10. Lame. MJ10. Lame.
That's so dumb.
What?
So dumb.
No.
So lame. It's Mac 10 is where it's at. Mac 10.
Yeah, but I think that's trademarked.
Yeah, but what about MAC 10?
Yeah, well,
the rapper was MAC K-10.
Right. It's I think
there's
it's
also
the gun.
Like the weapon, yes.
Yeah, I think the Mac 10 with the gun, that's
MJ
the issue.
10, what the hell are you doing with that? Nothing. It's lame.
If he's the new Michael Jordan, it's MJ 10, not MJ 23.
Yeah,
maybe he'll
have
a steakhouse at a casino somewhere.
Everybody will say that. But more exciting news, Sean, I think you'll love this. NFL free agent safety Kenny Vaccaro, of course, he was great at the University of Texas. He was like a 15th overall pick. He spent 8 years in the league, currently a free agent. Apparently, he has gotten offers from a bunch of teams, but he's deciding he is not going to play football anymore and instead get into professional esports. That's right.
Like as an investor or a competitor?
I think both. I think definitely an investor is going to be a part of it, but he no. It says he's going to compete in the Halo World Championship. Through his organization, Gamers First. That's what it's called.
Whoa.
And so he is going to be playing, and he's teamed up with a couple of other professional gamers on this this launch that he's going to have. But, yeah, no more football, no more taking hits. Instead, going to be a professional video game player.
I thought we were going to get Kenny Vaccaro's charcuterie shop. Mm-hmm. That's the road that you were going, which is why you're getting Shimey in there. But, yeah, how about that?
Another athlete.
You can make enough money.
He has. He's made a lot of money.
Yeah, Complexity Gaming just signed, like, six different athletes the other day, Ronnie Stanley, Leonard Fournette included.
Pretty good.
Do you have to have a complex to be a part of Complexity Gaming?
No, that's just owned by Jerry Jones instead.
I just try to come up with something there. Hey, tomorrow, I'll be back down here at Gillette, another split squad edition. We'll have a Celtics game to recap. We'll talk to Ian Rappaport at 10:45. Our buddy Andrew Raycroft at 11:10. Who's he putting in the tickle trunk this week? The perfect lineup, of course, brought to you by Miller Lite. Slow burn from our friends at Brennan's. And Michael Irvin is in at 1:30. Thanks to Matt Morrell down here for taking care of me at Gillette. Great job by Shime today. John had to bail for a little bit, and all is good with him. So Shimey flying the plane solo today. So if something went wrong, blame him. Marloni and Fourier are next. We got Rap Sheet, Razor, and Irvin tomorrow. We'll see you at 10 a.m.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.